Rangatira mā, nau mai ki te pai o te Waunui. Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Jamie Tahana ahau. You're listening to Te Waunui, a wrap of the week's Māori news here on RNZ National. This week we're at Ratana for all the festivities and the political pitches, and Māori foresters support calls for an independent inquiry. But first, tributes have come from around the country for the late Te Whai Harawira, the matriarch of Ngāpuhi, who died on Tuesday. After lying at Auckland's Hoani Waititi Marae, she was taken to Whakapara Marae in Northland on Saturday and buried at St Isaac Church. She's being remembered as a staunch wahine toa who didn't bow to anyone or waver in her beliefs.
We've done everything possible to point out the disastrous effects that the task force has had in Auckland here. We've had all the inquiries, we've made all the submissions, we've monitored the courts, we've monitored the task force as it has worked in the streets and in the hotels. All the evidence is there, it's quite clear that the task force is doing a very bad job.
Te Te Whai Harawira, speaking to RNZ in 1975. She was a member of Ngā Tamatoa, the Young Warriors, speaking against a police task force roaming the streets of Auckland, the same task force that carried out the infamous dawn raids. Mrs. Harawira, who died last night at 90, was one of the country's most prominent campaigners for Māori rights. A kuia of strong convictions backed by a steely will, Te Te Whai Te Hoia Hene Whare was born in 1932, a direct descendant of the great Ngāpuhi chiefs, including Patuone, one of the signatories of Te Tiriti.
My ancestors signed that treaty believing the Crown would honour its word. They were at a time, you know, when a person's word was their bond, and I know that they did that, believing that to be true. Mm. Unfortunately, the Crown has never honoured that treaty.
Mrs. Harawira spent much of her time with the Māori Women's Welfare League, campaigning for tamariki and action against poverty. She would become prominent alongside other wahine toa, Whina Cooper and Eva Rickard, on the marches of the 70s and 80s. She quit her job at the post office so she could join the land march. She was also active in the campaign to protect and revive Te Reo Māori, and protesting Waitangi Day to force the Crown to honour the treaty. Dame Nada Glavish says Te Te Whai Harawira was controversial to the mainstream.
She was often called a protester, but in the minds of those of us who walked with her, it was more a protector of civil rights in this country.
In West Auckland, she was a founding member of Hoani Waititi Marae and Te Whānau o Waipareira, a tireless campaigner for the Māori caught in the urban drift, as well as Ngāpuhi. Waipareira Trust Chief Executive John Tamahere says she would challenge her own people as much as anyone else, a staunch advocate for wahine Māori.
9 relentless decades through very difficult circumstances, and she gave courage to others. We're much better as a nation. Regardless of the way in which she expressed herself, whether you agreed with it or not, you need lightning rods like this in all nationhood stories.
Te Te Whai Harawira could be controversial, bristling and confrontational, but she was also a kuia of deep aroha, escorting many leaders onto Te Te Marae at Waitangi Day. Te Tai Tokiro MP Calvin Davis says Ngāpuhi is mourning, and Waitangi Day, less than 2 weeks away, won't be the same.
You know, Ngāpuhi will be in mourning. Her whānau will no doubt bring, you know, her memory to Waitangi. So it will be very a special time for the Harawira whānau, with Ngāpuhi remembering her.
Te Te Whai Harawira has been taken to her beloved Hoani Waititi Marae, where she will lie until she's returned to Papatuānuku in the north. As was so often the case, the last word is hers.
I'm proud to say that I've been part of those challenges that have brought about that awareness in our people and the changes, because things don't change for Māoris unless we get up there and make it happen.
Dame Nada Glavish of Ngāti Whātua knew and worked closely with Te Te Whai Harawira. She spoke with Morning Report's Corin Dan.
She did it with such dignity, even though she didn't bow to any pressure from anyone, government or otherwise. She was staunch and true to her cause. She was very proud to be Māori.
For many New Zealanders this morning, they will be reflecting on her role in the Waitangi commemorations and the role she often took, sometimes controversial, in accompanying prime ministers onto the Te Timarai, the Lower Marae in particular. Your thoughts on that? I know you've often been there yourself and in alongside. That was a significant sort of period for New Zealand, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, absolutely. And the thing about it really is that Te Tewhai will be sadly missed this year. This will be the first year that she will miss Waitangi. In all the years that I remember, I know she's 90, and I know she was only very young when the campaign began, but it's very sad for those of us who will be at Waitangi this year that she will not be coming and will not be a part of the main pōwhiri onto the marae.
I mean, just explain to people who perhaps are not familiar. I mean, sometimes she was there was controversy because she was having to fight to get that role to walk on with the prime ministers. It wasn't necessarily simple, was it?
It wasn't difficult either. It was how and who it was that was going to be called on to the marae at a particular time. Te Tewhai was never, ever denied by anyone that I know of on either Te Ti Marae or the top marae. She was welcomed and she escorted, and with dignity. The point is, in her moments of what's called protest, in actual fact, she stood strong as a protector of Te Tiriti or Waitangi rights.
And not afraid to take on big fights and controversies. I think one springs to mind was with Helen Clark and the issue around, women on the marae. Just talk us through that. That obviously caused a great deal of upset to Helen Clark at the time. She was denied the right to speak, is that right?
Yes, she was. And she was denied the right to speak by a woman, Te Tewhai, of course. And that is because if you go to Buckingham Palace, you will apply to the rules of Buckingham Palace. The same would apply if you come onto a marae. And Helen should have known that and didn't. And it was only right that if anyone was going to correct a female prime minister of this country, it would be a female who had rights on a marae.
That's Dame Nada Glavish. The former New Zealand First MP and Cabinet Minister Shane Jones paid this tribute to Te Tewhai Harawira.
E te ruahine, e te kai whakatumatuma, kori te te wā mou hoki ai ki te kāinga tūturu. E moi, e moi, e Te Tewhai. Te kai whakatumatuma o ngā puhi. Haere atu nā.
That's a poroporowaki from Shane Jones paying tribute to the late Te Tewhai Harawira, who died this week, aged 90. Ari ari mai o koutou tāringa ki te Waonui. You're listening to Te Waonui, a wrap of the week from our Māori News team here on RNZ National. Ko Jamie Tahana, tēnei. The Māori Forestry Association supports an independent inquiry into how forestry waste is managed. Wood debris has been washing up on Tairawhiti beaches since extreme weather early this month. And on Wednesday, a 12-year-old boy died after being hit by a floating log at Gisborne's Wakanae Beach.
A petition calling for an independent inquiry was presented to the Gisborne District Council yesterday. Ngā Pau a tāne chair, Te Kapunga Dews, told Marnie Dunlop something is needed due to a lack of trust.
A collaborative approach to addressing all of the conflicting, I suppose, objectives for afforestation back at home on the coast would be a good thing.
So you support an inquiry, an independent inquiry?
Well, we don't not support it. Being in the industry, we have some understanding of the complexities and some understanding of the solutions. But there seems to be this necessity for an independence and probably based on a lack of trust for the industry, which is quite understandable, particularly given recent events. So, an independent inquiry is supported, although, like I say, a collaborative approach, parties coming together in a trusting way may well reach the similar conclusions that an independent inquiry would. I guess that's sort of saying, yes, support it, but it could be done without it.
Arguably, though, from the other side, that there has been goodwill in order for that to happen, but nothing has really been achieved. And we're seeing this, and this is the worst-case scenario that we've seen play out. So would you say the forestry industry is not doing enough to address this problem?
Yeah, I would say that the forestry industry, given the repeated events over the last couple of years, hasn't done enough to address the social license and the issues in and around slash migration back at home on the coast. Absolutely.
So how is that rectified?
Probably the way that I'll describe this by using an analogy. So from a forestry perspective. So the analogy would be brakes on your vehicle. We all have brakes on our cars, but we understand that ceramic brakes and high spec brakes are better than normal disc brakes. And however, in order to get a warrant of fitness, all we need are standard disc brakes. However, if I were going down the road and a child ran out in front of that car, I would rather have the upgraded brakes that I'm not compelled to have in terms of regulation or legislation. And that's somewhat similar to what's occurring in the forestry industry. We have a compliance attitude, which some companies would probably argue is not fair. And some companies are doing more than compliance, which is absolutely true. But the general rule is achieving a compliance standard, which is just having the standardised brakes. So one of the opportunities that forestry companies has is to self-regulate, and that is inversely proportionate to the economics of the industry, which is marginal back on the coast at the best of times. Some additional regulation in that space, I suspect, would be quite useful. Some of the tools that we were given to use back on the coast, like the use of fire to reduce slash and debris, have been taken away from us.
So bring that back, do you think?
Oh, that's certainly a possibility. But the other possibilities are, implementing permanent forest types back on the coast, exotic to native transition forests or continuous cover exotic or indigenous forests. That's what a lot of Te Tai Rāwhiti needs. But in the current environment, that ostensibly means no economic return from our land. So we need to make sure that we're balancing the opportunity for sustainable development with addressing the concerns.
That's Te Kapunga Dews. Chris Hipkins was sworn in as the country's 41st Prime Minister this week, formally completing the handover of power from Jacinda Ardern. Ms. Ardern's last official duties were on Tuesday at Ratanapā. The leaders of all parties except ACT were at the small settlement near Whanganui, marking the return of the annual festivities and the start of the political year. But while the politicians had swarmed, it was the first time Morehu had been able to return in 2 years. And the church and movement has been going through change itself. Here's my report from the village. The famous brass band is back, their multicoloured hats and blazers, foreheads beaded with sweat and the blistering heat, leading manuhiri from the towering Temepara to the marae. The Morehu have also returned, their tents pitched on lawns all round the settlement. Ratanapā representative Kamaka Manuel is stoked.
So it's exciting. It's a real beautiful, happy wairua feeling. And it's about that whakawhanaungatanga that we have for us as Morehu and being able to bring all our people back here to the pā. Fantastic.
The politicians are back too, pitching themselves to the Ratana faithful and more widely to the Māori electorate. Yesterday was especially significant, the final outing for Jacinda Ardern as Prime Minister.
I only carried the baton for a time. The relationship between Ratana and Labour is much deeper than individuals, and it will carry and continue and be strengthened.
Her replacement, Chris Hipkins, introduced himself to the historically Labour-aligned movement.
Jacinda has implored us all non-Māori New Zealanders to walk across the bridge, to stand in the shoes of our tangata whenua, not to meet on our terms, but to meet on yours. And I can give you an undertaking that we will continue to do that.
It was National Leader Christopher Luxon's first Ratana too, standing by his party's opposition to co-governance after being urged from the Pai Pai not to fear it.
We believe in a single coherent system, not one system for Māori and another system for non-Māori, for the delivery of public services. Things like health and education and justice and for critical infrastructure like Three Waters.
In whaikōrero over the first 2 days of the Ratana Festival, the issues of Māoridom were laid out beyond co-governance. They included cost of living, te taiao, water rights, te tiriti o Waitangi. Rahui Papa asked kāwanatanga to loosen the grip from te whare paremata to allow Māori more self-determination.
So let's make a commitment that we will uphold the principles of te tiriti o Waitangi. It's done reportedly where any Ratana in his advocacy of that left us with that mission and with that mahi to go forward together.
Today, the third day, attention turns to the Ratana movement itself. It's 150 years since Tahu Pōtiki Wiremu Ratana was born, the prophet who founded a movement for dispirited Māori in the early 20th century. Their land stripped, their culture endangered, their faith tested, people flocked to his words in the 1920s and 30s. And they've come to celebrate him nearly every year since then. But it hasn't been able to happen for the last 2 years. Te Taipa Kāmeta says that's been tough.
It's been a long 2-3 years for our people to return here to the pā. And the anticipation beforehand coming here was amazing. You could feel all the Māori who are ready to return home here, return back to the Temepara and to fill their bottle.
It's also the first Ratana celebrations since the last Tumuaki, Harerangi Meihana, died in May last year. A replacement is yet to be found, although it was announced from the Pai Pai that the process is well underway. Te Taipa Kāmeta says he's confident things are being settled.
It has been no secret. There has been some issues within the church itself. But everybody is focused on moving forward with those issues and, clearing the air with all that's going on.
He says political leaders will come and go, but many more future leaders will be welcomed to Ratana. Koe.
Hoi nā te Waonui I tēnei wiki. That's Te Waonui for this week. You can find all our Māori news stories on our website, rnz.co.nz, under the Te Ao Māori section. We're back next week, but for now, thanks for joining us. Ko Jamie Tahana, toku ingoa, noho oro mai, tēnā koutou katoa.